So a phone call comes in. Hey, preacher, you know this Sunday is Mother's Day. I said, yes. What are you going to preach about? Well, my standard answer is about 20 minutes. He said, aha, very funny, but this time I'm bringing my mom, so it better be short, it better be good, and she better like it. I'm okay, a little, no stress. It's Mother's Day, no stress. Tell you a little story about to begin this message about putting your poetry into practice. Mrs. Perkins' fifth grade class was having a scholastic Olympics. Every child was to choose a single sentence. They were to name the author, tell where the sentence came from, and standing in front of the class, show some originality in explaining why his or her choice of this particular sentence should be considered the greatest sentence of all time. Most of the sentences chosen were famous ones, like 47 years ago. Some came from literature, like, to be or not to be, that is the question. On that, one child won points for knowing that it was William Shakespeare who wrote it, but lost points when she said the author probably was a writer for Disney. So, that's okay. There were 14 entries of, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, mainly because the class knew that this was Mrs. Perkins' favorite sentence, and they were a class of suck-ups. So, that's right. It's all right. The winning sentence, though, was not by a famous author. It was written by a little girl's new stepfather. It had been written not in a published book, but on a postcard the girl had received that very week while this man and her mother were on their honeymoon in Hawaii. What made the sentence so special? The little girl told the class that until she had received that postcard, she had never known for sure what her new stepfather, how he really felt about her. And on a postcard from the Waikiki beach, he had simply scribbled, "Charlotte, I love you." What a simple thing. Love. It's a deceptively simple word. And yet those four letters point to the most important emotion and force in life, as necessary for our well-being as oxygen and water. One of the greatest poetic expressions of the meaning of love can be found in our scripture passage today from Corinthians 13. It's a beautiful passage. It tells us so much. And I have the joy of every time I do a wedding, I try to work that in there somehow. And I did a wedding for some of our members last week. Every time we do it, it's a wonderful thing, you know, to give yourself to another in love. One summer I was riding I'm not using bike stories anymore, but I was riding a two-wheeled vehicle across Georgia under my own power. And the highlight of this day was we were going to be going through a covered bridge. Now, how many covered bridges do you think there are in Georgia? Not many. So I looked forward to it, and when I got to it, it was beautiful, it was old, it smelled old, it looked old. I remember that it was very, very narrow, only big enough for one vehicle to pass. And so I wasn't surprised that as I rode up to it, there was a sign that said yield at the entrance. And so I got off and I walked and when I got through, I got off, get ready to get on the bike again, and I turned around to take a picture, and there on the other side was another yield sign. Drivers from both directions were expected to give the other driver the right of way. I mean, but in practice, how would that work? Do you think two cars would just sit there for, no, because it's Georgia and they don't drive like that there. They would have done it. But anyway, it makes an extra safe way to prevent an accident when both people yield. But the whole idea of yielding is important today because today is Mother's Day, a day that we set aside to honor mothers and express our love and appreciation for them. No one has ever said that it's an easy job. There is now, there's no award given away for it, like an Oscar for being a good mother. It's a big sacrifice. It is a big yielding of your life for the benefit of someone else. It's motherhood. Paul describes love as a powerful yield sign in one's relationships. He writes, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not insist on its own way. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Paul sees love as a commitment freely focused on others and on others' needs rather than coming out of our needs and our wants. Love does not insist on its own way. Paul writes, "It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the right. Kathy Slattery tells of a time when a friend had just called her to tell her that she had got a big promotion. Now, the friend said that she and her family would be able to buy their dream home and do some of the other things that they had wanted to do for a long time. And as Kathy hung up the phone, she happened to glance in the hall mirror and she saw herself there, and it was an unhappy face. It was twisted in envy. She pretended to be congratulating her friend, but her stomach was turning, her feelings depressed with the sense that her friend's gain was somehow her loss. And so she sat there by the phone thinking of her friends who seemed to be having so much more than she and her husband were having, and the power of envy just ate away at her. And at that moment, her daughter Kate came up, who had just turned 3, came charging down the hallway towards her, clutching her game, Candyland. Anybody remember Candyland? How many? Yeah? Yeah? All right. Wilson, did you ever play Candyland? Yeah, it was pretty cool, wasn't it? Yeah. No, I'll challenge you later. Anyway, she had it under her arm. And the gift that she got at a recent birthday party, "Mommy, Mommy, let's play." And so Kathy just sighed, and she sat down with Katie to play Candyland. Little Katie went first, but soon the cards that her mother drew put her into a commanding lead while Katie wound up stuck in Molasses Swamp. And at that point, Katie, not wanting her daughter to lose, started to try to cheat, tried to skip a turn or move her piece less spaces than the cards allowed. But little Katie caught on to this. "Mommy," she said, "you forgot to move. You've got to move so you can get to the candy castle." Before long, the game was over, and the mother had won. But before she could say that she was sorry or try to comfort her daughter for losing, Katie cried out, "Oh, Mommy, you did it! You did it! You got to Candy Castle! And then she lunged across the board and gave her mother a huge hug. Kathy thought about this afterwards, thought about what their daughter had said, not "you won" or "I lost," but "you did it." Her young age, at that young age, Katie had little concept of winning or losing. Her instinctive response to her mother's good fortune was not envy or disappointment or a sense of loss. It was simply joy, sheer joy. It was love as freely given and as enjoyment. It was what Paul was talking about. It was perhaps what Jesus meant when he said that we are to be like little children in order to enter the kingdom of God. And when Kathy started to think about her own life, not in comparing herself with her friends with all of the gifts of life, family, security, and love that she did have, she went back to the phone and she called her friend. And this time she let her know how really happy she was for her. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Love can only be described in poetic images. It is too powerful to do any other way. Love as poetry, as song, comes to us in books and music from all around us, but it is one thing to describe it. It is a very different thing to actually put your poetry into practice. There's an old story of a busy businessman whose wife was experiencing terrible depression. It got so bad that he did the only logical thing. He made an appointment with a counselor. And on the time that they went to the counselor's office, they sat down with him and began to talk. And it wasn't long before the counselor realized what the problem was. And so without even saying a word, he stood up and he walked across to the woman. He took her in his hands and he looked at her in the eyes for a long moment. And then he gathered her into his arms and gave her a big warm hug. And immediately her face began to change. Her mouth relaxed. Her eyes lit up. Her whole face began to glow. Stepping back, the counselor said to the husband, "You see, that's all she needs." And with that, the man said, "Okay, I can bring her back on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I play golf the rest of the time." Yeah, he didn't quite get it, did he? He didn't get the message. Love is meant to be practiced. It's meant to be practiced in concrete ways, some of it by a simple touch. Studies continue to show the incredible power of touching. A hug, a simple touch on the shoulder or arm, actually increases the amount of hemoglobin in the blood, which in turn increases the amount of oxygen carried through the body. A group of 4-year-olds were asked one time, "What does love mean?" Well, they didn't use poetry, but they came with some great answers. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on cologne and they go out and they smell each other. Yeah? Love is when you go out to eat and you give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas when you stop opening presents and listen. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. When my mother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore, so my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. When you tell someone something bad about yourself and you're scared they won't love you anymore, but then you get surprised because not only do they still love you, they love you even more. Love is so many things. And today we recognize special people who are defined by love. So what is love? Love is silence when words would hurt. Love is patience when your neighbor is curt. It is deafness when scandal flows. It is thoughtfulness for someone else's woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls. It's courage when misfortune falls. Love ever gives, forgives, outlives, and even stands with open hands. And while it lives, love gives. For this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give. Jesus understood this. Jesus put his arms around everyone. With Jesus, no one was outside. Everyone was somebody just by simply being a human being. Love is also communicated in other simple, concrete ways of caring. Years ago, Nobel Prize winner Dr. Albert Schweitzer was in Chicago on a trip. And a bunch of reporters gathered around him on a railroad platform for an interview. And as they were talking, Schweitzer noticed an older woman carrying a heavy suitcase coming to go onto the train, walking very slowly. So he stopped the conversation, went over, gently took the suitcase and accompanied her to her boarding car. And they came back, and all the reporters were gone. Each one of them had left to give a helping hand to a passenger. Love is expressed and built in very ordinary, concrete ways, and our actions, our practice of love, has a multiplying effect on others. Like ripples in a pond, when you toss a stone into it, will reverberate. It'll go to the shore and then back, and to the shore and back, because love multiplies. It amplifies. It amplifies our love, and this happens when we put it into practice. And so this is Mother's Day. Do you know the history? Do you know where it comes from? Well, you're about to find out. Susan, would you share with us?
Back in 1870, there was no Mother's Day, but Julia Ward Howe, who wrote Battle Hymn of the Republic, issued a proclamation, a Mother's Day proclamation, and this is it. This is the beginning of Mother's Day. Arise, then, woman of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Whether your baptism be of water or of tears, say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender of those in another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of a devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out our dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace. Each bearing after his own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of Women without limit of nationality may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient and the earliest period consistent with its objects to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace.
So, I'd like to close with a little piece that I found. It's a little present to moms and dads. Many fathers make great mothers who are here. It's a writer is unknown, but it's simply titled, If. If I had my child to raise all over again, I'd build self-esteem first and the house later. I'd finger paint more and point the finger less. I would do less correcting and more connecting. I take my eyes off my watch and watch with my eyes. I would care to know less and know to care more. I'd like more hikes and fly more kites. I'd stop playing seriously and seriously play. I would run through more fields and gaze at more stars. I'd do more hugging and less tugging. I'd see the oak tree in the acorn more often. I would be firm less often and affirm much more. I'd model less about the love of power and more about the power of love. We can love deeply and freely if we ourselves have experienced and shared in the practice of love in our own lives. God's love for us is poetic in its power, and it is practiced in down-to-earth concrete ways. Jesus' death on the cross drives home both the poetry and the practice of God's love for you and for me. And it gives us both a model and the ability to love, to put that love into our relationships and to make our faith come alive. Love, such a simple word, and yet it is life itself. Happy Mother's Day. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so aware of the great debt that we have in our lives to so many people, and certainly our mothers are there. They, all the different experiences that we have had with them throughout this congregation is too easy for us to just simplify, but we know that your love is at the basis of everything that we desire. And so for every person here, the love that we have for each other and for those that have raised us, birthed us, cared for us, we give thanks. It's such a simple word. Your love for us has been the example. And so as you have said that you love us, we pause and say we love you on this Mother's Day in this holy place. Amen.